Nice, man. Nice. I like it. I like it. Finally. 5 years in. All right. We are in the book of Romans this morning. So if you can turn with me to the book of Romans, we're continuing our kind of series on Christian growth. And we're asking the question, man, how do we grow as Christians? What is growth all about? How do we grow in our faith? I mean, last week we talked about how in 2 Peter, we don't look at spiritual growth in terms of like, how often are you going to church? What kind of ministries are you involved in? How are you serving? Those aren't really good gauges of how we're doing spiritually. It might be an indication, but it's not like the truest way for us to tell how well a person's doing, right? It's more about like, how are you growing your self-control? How are you growing in your virtue? How are you growing in your love for people, man? Are you more loving now than you were a year ago? And so those are truer ways of telling if we're growing or not, right? Are you striving for these things? And are you actively pursuing growth in your relationship with Jesus? I mean, if you're not really, then maybe you're in some sticky waters here, right? Like, if you're in a place where you're not growing, but it's not that big of a deal for you, that's a really tricky situation to be in. That's a really dangerous place to be, actually. Because if you've experienced the grace of God in your life at some point, right? If you thought, man, I'm a sinner, I can't do my life on my own, I need Jesus. If you've genuinely had your life changed like this, you got to be growing somehow, right? And there are times, right? There are times when we don't grow. Right, life goes in cycles. You might hit a rut. There are times where you might backslide, where you fall into temptation again and again. I mean, there's been so many times in my life where I've just kind of hit a rut and it's dry and I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, but then all of a sudden, God brings me to a place where it's like, man, I have to run to Him. He's the only one that can help me. It's like, God, I just need you. I don't know where else to turn. And then I'm off again. This is how the Christian life goes. Sometimes things are great. Sometimes we fall short. But we dust ourselves off and try again, right? That's Aaliyah I just quoted. I don't know if you got that. This morning, though, we're talking about bottlenecks in our spiritual growth. What's a bottleneck? Well, you look at like a bottle, right? It's this big jug, and at the top of it, it narrows down and into a spout. And that spout part, it kind of slows the liquid down from it spilling all over the place, right? And so there's bottlenecks in our lives where sometimes our spiritual lives are stalled out. There's a bottleneck that keeps us from pouring over and spilling over, and it stops us from actually growing. So this morning, we're actually going to be talking about one particular crucial bottleneck that keeps us from growing. What is it that keeps us from growing? I mean, sometimes we look at other Christians, I mean, why are they so in love with Jesus? I'm not. Why are they growing and I'm not? Why are they so excited about their Christian walk and I'm not? Why does mine seem so dry? And so because we're stuck here, I mean, this is all we see. This is always like, is this all the Christian life has to offer me? Is this all that means to follow Jesus? Several years ago, I had a friend who's allergic to shellfish. And you guys might know someone like this. And so, of course, me being like the food-centric guy, the first question I have in my mind is like, so do you miss eating lobster? Right? Like, do you miss eating, like, lobster? She's like, I've never had in my life. Like, if I have it, I die, right, basically. And to me, it's like, man, how have you never had lobster in your life? Like, it's a total first world problem, right? But, like, seriously, lobster is like, you can't have it too much, right? You can't have it too much, but if you've had good, fresh lobster, it's heavenly. So some of you, like, maybe, like, some of you, like, ew, lobster is gross. It's one of those things that are like ugly, delicious, you know, right? Like there's a few things in this world that don't look that good to eat. They don't look too appetizing, but when you eat, put in your mouth, they're absolutely delicious, right? Lobster is one of those things. Roast pig, like a whole roast pig is one of those things, right? It looks exactly how it sounds like. It's a whole pig that's roasted, head intact and everything. Right? A person looks at this thing, it doesn't look that great, but if you've had it, you look at it, it's like amazing. It's delicious. Same with lobster. It's big, it's red, it's got a hard shell, it's got those long, spindly, skinny legs, it's got antenna coming out of it, but you open it up, it's sweet and fleshy. You dip it in garlic butter, you put it in your mouth, right? She's never had this. She's never had this, and she's never going to be able to experience the pleasure of eating lobster. She's never had the experience of being able to enjoy this. It's the same with our spiritual lives. Sometimes we don't know what we're missing because we've never experienced it. We can't know the joy of life in Jesus because we've never experienced it ourselves, and we can't yearn for more. This morning, we're going to try to identify that one thing that all of us need to deal with. And more often than not, it's that one thing that keeps us from growing and experiencing the beauty and the joy, the love of Jesus. Probably the single most important thing. And if we can deal with this properly, man, the sky's the limit in our spiritual lives. But if we don't, we just end up stalled up. We hit this bottleneck. We're lost. We're adrift at sea. And what's that thing? It's our sin. So we're going to read Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 14 to 25. It's in your bulletin. It's printed in your bulletin. So if you want to keep that open, I'm also going to flash it up on the screen here. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. I do not know what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells within my members. Verse 24, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words, your word to us, God. We thank you for these words of Paul that just really describes really our human experience and this conflict within our souls. And I pray, Lord, for each one of my friends here, that Jesus, you would touch all of our lives in some way this morning. That you would search our hearts. That you'd show us exactly where we fall short. So we can't know the good news of Jesus Christ if we don't understand the bad news. So Lord, let us be able to fly and flourish under your grace. Let's not get stuck in this bottleneck of sin and decay. Disobedience and rebellion. Let's strive and seek for more and more of you in our lives. So Lord, help us this morning. I pray that I would not get in the word of your truth, your word being spoken in this place. That Holy Spirit, you would speak directly into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is one of the most One of the most famous passages in Paul's letter to the Romans, and that's saying a lot because there are a lot of really famous passages in Romans. It's got this passage. It's got this classic, man, I don't want to do this, but I can't help myself vibe that's really sort of universal, right? That everyone goes through this. All of us, every single one of us goes through this. Now, before we start going through this passage, I want you to look at verse 6. Verse 6, if you have your Bibles with you, I don't think I have it on the screen here, but if you have your Bibles with you, in chapter 7, verse 6, it says, "But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." Now, Paul is spending the bulk of this letter explaining what the gospel is about in great detail. And then in verse 6 of chapter 7, he says, "Now we're free from the law so that we're free to serve in the new way of the Spirit." Man, this is the heart of it all here. This is really the heart of Christianity. We have to understand this if we want to get Christianity. Christianity isn't about, well, God made me a better person. God is going to guide me and protect me. God is going to clear my paths and make my life easier. God is going to get me into this program or get me this job or get me this wife, right? This is not what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about Jesus, who sets us free from sin so that we can live free in the Spirit. It's about dying to what is holding us captive and living a new life in what He frees us, in how He frees us. Right? The example Paul gives us is from marriage, right? And so he says, like, so if my wife Cece is bound to be by, she is bound to me by law, and me to her, right? Vice versa. As long as I'm alive, she is bound to me. So she's stuck. Sorry, she's stuck with me, right? Now, if she goes on and has a relationship with another dude, she goes off to live with him. That's not me, and I'm still alive. She's committing adultery, right? Because she's still bound to me. But if I die, she's free from her bond to me. She's free to marry someone else, right? Because my death basically releases her. Don't do it, Cece, please. All right? So when it comes to our spiritual lives, before we belong to Christ, we belong to the law. We're bound to it. So we need to die to the law. We need to die to sin before we can belong to Jesus. Okay? This is what Paul is saying. We need to die to our sin before we can live for Jesus. There's this idea where we need to put off the old in order to put on the new. Okay? So, we need to put off the old ways of sin in order to put on Christ. Right? Because as long as sin reigns in your life, Jesus cannot. This is crucial for us to understand. That as Christians now, we have this new life. We've put off the old and put on the new. Jesus and his death on the cross makes it possible for us to find freedom from our sin. And if you've been in church for a while, you'll probably know this. You've probably heard this before. We're laying down some groundwork for what we're going to cover later on. Once we were held captive to sin, now we're free in the Spirit. Once there was an old life, now we have a new life. I mean, in your life, if you're a Christian, I mean, how are you living any differently from when you weren't a Christian? If you put off the old, there must be something new, right? But then there's some of us, like, I remember growing up in the church and thinking, actually, like, I don't know how different I'd be because I've been a Christian my whole life. I became a Christian in grade 4. It's not like I had an opportunity to do drugs and drink all the time and party in grade 4. Drink a lot of juice. But now that I'm a Christian, like, what's the difference? Like, how do I tell a difference, right? So let me ask you this way, though, if this is you. Let me ask you, are you driven by the passions of this world more than you are driven by Christ? But it's not always so simple, is it? The reality is, this isn't always so black and white. It's not as simple as like flipping a switch and it's like, this is the old me, and then boom, this is the new me. And Paul realizes this. And so he says in verse 4, he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh. He says, I don't understand my actions. I don't do what I want to do. But the very thing I hate to do, I do it. I mean, Paul is hitting on some deeply psychological concepts here, doesn't he? Right? But look at what he says. He says, here is Paul, quite possibly the greatest Christian that's ever lived in this world, in the entire history, right? Here's Paul. He's the apostle, right? A leader in the early church. He's this guy who miraculously encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, right? If you remember, he was hit by this bolt of light. He's this missionary risking his life to preach the gospel for the rest of his life. He writes most of the New Testament, and he's this guy, Paul. He's saying, look, I'm a Christian, but there is still this battle inside of me. There's still this fight. I want to do good, but I don't. I can't. Right, sin still dwells within me. And when we say, we think about our pastors, we think about our church leaders, we think, guys like Paul, guys like this, they shouldn't have these kinds of struggles. They shouldn't be this bad. They should have it all together. But Paul kind of blows that kind of thinking out of the water, right? He says, I'm the best. I'm the best Christian that there ever was, and I'm still filled with sin. If the Apostle Paul can think about himself like this, where do we stand? How do we think about ourselves? Is there a part of ourselves that's thinking, well, maybe now that I'm a Christian, I don't have any problems? I might have some minor things I need to work out, but for the most part, I'm good. I overcome it all. I don't have that big of a deal with sin. I don't have an issue with sin in my life. But Paul says, man, I'm full of sin. I want to do good, but I can't. And things I don't want to do, I do. And when he says that, he's being completely honest. He's being completely self-aware. I mean, this is the reality of us. We're human. Right? If you ask Donald Trump if he's a bad man, he'd say no way. Matter of fact, he actually says that he has nothing to ask God for forgiveness for in his life. If you ask Paul if he was a bad man, he'd tell you most definitely. I say it right here. I want to do good, but I can't. Things I hate to do, I do. What's going on in Paul's heart? How can he think like this? I mean, here's what's going on. Here's what I think is going on. I think he's saying that the closer you get to God, the more you see things the way God sees them, the more you see, the more you'll begin to see this tremendous wickedness that's going on in the world, beginning with your own heart. These last couple of weeks, I have a ton of t-shirts that I've been sorting through lately and trying to clear out our closet a bit and maybe donate some of the things that I don't wear anymore. I have a ton of these like plain white Hanes t-shirts like that I would buy in packs of six at Target, right? And so I started wearing them like years ago. And I still have the same ones from like 10 years ago that I bought. Because I have so many, they don't wear out, right? Because you just kind of go through them. But if I just put them on, they look pretty white. But if I hold them up, if I hold up the ones from 10 years ago up to the ones that are like brand new, it looks completely yellow, right? And it's like, man, am I that dirty? Like I shower regularly. I clean myself. I just wash these and they're still like yellow. It's like my yellow skin rubbing off on the shirts I wear, right? So just over time, all that dirt and grime just kind of gets absorbed into that cotton, right? But sometimes you don't know how dirty your shirt is until you hold them up to something brand new and something pristine. You don't know how dirty your shirt is until you hold them up to something pure and white. In our lives, we don't realize how much sin is in our hearts until we put them up next to Jesus' life. You see, the closer Paul got to knowing Jesus, to knowing Christ, the more he realized how far he's fallen short. He's held up his shirt against Jesus, and he realized just how dirty his shirt really is. And so look, are you aware of the sin on your own heart? And I don't just mean like I lie, I cheat, I look at porn, I smoke kush, I sleep with my girlfriend. I don't mean that kind of things. When we think about, sometimes one of the things we do when we think about sin is just this list of things that we shouldn't do. Like, I got to stop doing this, I got to stop doing that. I don't mean just those things that we know is wrong and that we try not to do them. When I'm talking about sin, I'm talking about something deeper than just our actions. I'm talking about, like, man, how are you aware of this conflict that rages inside of you? Like, it's like, I want to follow God, but I feel like my way seems so much more fun. I want to obey God, but the things in my life, I just love them more. I desire them more than I desire God. I enjoy more. I just want to live the way I want to, and I do the things I want to do. I don't want God's interference. I mean, how aware are you of that? Because the reality is, this is all of us right here. We're in this. But the scary thing is maybe you are aware of it, but it doesn't bother you that much. You don't care that much about it. It's not a big deal for you if you're in this. Maybe there's a conflict within you. You realize there's this conflict, but it's just so much more easier for your life just to give in. You do what you want, but what you want isn't necessarily what is good or what is right. Maybe you've ignored it so long that it doesn't even feel wrong anymore. And I got to tell you, that's a scary, scary place to be. You've been living in sin for so long that it doesn't even feel like sin anymore. And it's not a good place to be. Earlier in Romans chapter 6, Paul asked, man, are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? By no means. Man, how can we who died to sin still live in it? If you've died to sin, like if you've been rescued from captivity, how do you not have this conflict within you? Man, like, how does this disappear in your life? Like, as a human being, man, I got to see this constant wrestling between the flesh and the spirit as maybe it's a good sign that I'm at least trying to work out how to live out the life of Christ. Like, if I'm constantly wrestling with my own flesh, it's almost like a good sign. It's a good thing because I'm actually taking seriously the call of God on my life to be holy and to seek righteousness. But if you've quit fighting, man, if you've quit fighting, this is a scary place to be, isn't it? But look, we also have to see this as this. Look, if this conflict is in you, which side of the line are you going to fall on? Are you on the side of, man, I want to do good, I want to follow Christ, but I just don't know how. I can't do it on my own. Or are you on the side that I want to do good, but you know, whatever. Whatever. So you just give in to your desires and you don't really honor God. Which side are you going to fall on? Because if there's anything that's keeping you from progressing as a Christian, if there's anything that's keeping you from growing, if there's anything that's acting like this bottleneck that's keeping you from reaching maturity as a believer in Jesus Christ, it's this. It's how you deal with the sin on your heart. And listen, becoming a Christian doesn't make your problems magically disappear. You hear these stories of guys who used to be drug addicts and they find Jesus and all of a sudden they're free from their addiction. That doesn't always happen. Even as Christians, we might be set free from the bondage of sin where Jesus sets us free from being controlled by our sin. But that doesn't mean that we never ever sin again for the rest of our lives. There's always going to be this inner struggle. It might get easier the more you grow in Christ, but it'll be there until that day he comes and makes us completely new again. But until that day, we're going to struggle. How do we deal with it, man? What do we do? Paul is saying in this passage that even he can't win just by trying harder. He says, I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. He says, for I delight in the law of God. I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin. So first thing, how do we do this? First thing, let me tell you how we shouldn't deal with it. Can we simply try harder? Can we just try to behave better? Can we just try to change how we act? Paul's saying it doesn't work out too well. He's saying, I can't get better just by sheer willpower. I can't just be like power positive thinking and everything is going to work out in my life. Because as Paul is saying, if all you do is simply try harder just by sheer willpower, you'll always lose the battle. You might want to do good and be good, but it's really, really hard, man. I want to do what's right, but I just keep doing the things that I've always done. I hate it. And this is the whole thing with like New Year's resolutions, right? 9 times out of 10, they never stick because in most cases, you're just relying on sheer willpower and changing your behavior, hoping that your whole life would change. I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to quit smoking. I want to read the Bible more. We hope in these things and change our lives. We hope that these things would change our lives, right? And we expect ourselves to be sort of the authors of our own success, so we try harder. We're going to do this. But with sin, we just can't get rid of it just by sheer willpower. We can't get rid of it just by working harder. You have a strong desire to deal with sin? Absolutely, yes. But that alone isn't going to change your life. In other words, if you want to grow as a Christian, you need to deal with the sin in your life. But at the same time, you just can't focus on getting rid of the bad in your life because if that's your only focus, you're going to lose that battle more often than not. That in itself isn't going to work. What's going to work? What's going to work? Look at verse 24. And there's a few things that Paul says here. This is how Paul deals with sin. He says, wretched man that I am. Wretched man that I am. Paul is acknowledging just how much he's failed, how far he's fallen short. He's saying it's like he's frustrated. It's like, man, I've been struggling with sin. I've been trying to beat it, but I keep failing. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? How do we deal with sin? The first thing he's saying, Paul's thing is like, what a wretched man I am. I'm helpless. I can't do this. This is where you have to start. And then he says this, who's going to save me from this body of death? He doesn't say, I can save myself, I can try harder. He says, who's going to rescue me? Then what's the next thing he says? He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look, what are you struggling with? What are you struggling with? Maybe you're holding on to resentment and bitterness towards someone in your heart, a friend. a not-so-friend, family member. It's not enough to just to say, like, I'm going to try to be nice to that person the next time I see them, right? Maybe you've been lying a lot to cover yourself or to make yourself look better to people, exaggerating things in your life here and there. It's not enough to say, I'm going to stop lying, I promise to be more honest. Maybe it's simply what you're struggling with is like, I've been living my life my own way and not letting God into my decisions, into my time, into my life. I've been shutting God out. It's not enough just to be like, I'm going to pray more and read the Bible more. What do you do? First, you got to admit to yourself, I'm weak. I'm not that strong as I thought. I'm not strong enough. I've got this evil in my heart, all this stuff I didn't realize was there before. I need help. Only Jesus can help me. Only Jesus can rescue me. And then it's like, thank you. It's like, thanks for loving me. Thanks for rescuing me in Jesus Christ. Thanks for accepting me even though I feel like I'm unlovable. Thanks for forgiving me even though I never thought I could find forgiveness. Even though I never thought I needed forgiveness. Thanks that even though I struggle, I can find my righteousness in you. I can find my goodness in your goodness. I'm good because you're good. Listen, can you say that? Are you able to? Unless we're able to say this, unless we do say this in our hearts, we'll never be able to grow. We'll never be able to progress. You'll just keep wandering. You'll just keep drifting. Your sin will continue to be a bottleneck that keeps you from growing up into maturity in Christ. How do we deal with sin? We say, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's how we deal with sin. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That you saw our sin and you took our sin so seriously that Jesus, you came and you died on the cross so that we could buy our freedom from sin. And Lord, I pray for my friends here, God, that if there is stuff hidden within the deep recesses of our souls that we don't even know about, I pray that you just shine a light on these things so that we can offer it to you, so we can find freedom and deliverance from these things. If there are things in our hearts, if there's sin in our hearts that comes from, like, all of our sin just comes from a place where it's like we desire